Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul, and today our guests are Elizabeth Ware and Mark Robocoff, here to talk about The Imaginary Invalid by Molière. So, how are you enjoying working together? I understand you never have before.
It's brand new. Yeah, thank you, Jean.
At least in this respect.
Wait a minute. She's just funning you. You did that Chekhov thing.
She is totally funning us. Mark and I have been on stage together a few million times,
Chekhov,
it feels like.
Shakespeare.
Yeah, we tend to be romantically involved, you know, and people are talking.
Well, I thought it was you and Paul.
Well, there's that, too.
Show yesterday. You got to keep up with the
times. But this time, I'm in charge, because I'm the director, and Mark is my title character in The Imaginary Invalid by Molière. So it's a slightly different relationship, but just as intense.
Very intense, but pretty different. Most of the stuff we've done in the past has been pretty heavy, pretty serious.
That's right.
Like I said, Chekhov, Shakespeare, and lest we forget, Edward Albee. With that 4-hour emotion fest of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Unforgettable.
Totally.
Yeah, and Mark, you're kind of getting known for these like heavy, major, like blockbuster, I mean, just, you know, big commitment roles.
Well,
you carry the show, can I say it?
If we were having this conversation about 3 or 4 years ago, you would say that I would be getting known for very lighthearted, slapstick kind of character stuff. Yeah, Dancing Duck and Honk and so forth. The heavy stuff has been more recent, I guess, just as people tried to...
I actually think it's since you've met me. You haven't been an animal on stage since.
You've helped him grow into a human.
Well, this particular play is a great turnaround from that recent stuff, because there's just, I don't know if I can say this, but there's almost nothing heavy about it. It's a very fun, very lighthearted, even though it's a classical 400-year-old play, it seems to exist just to show us that we still laugh at the same stuff today that we did 400 years ago.
Like doctors and hypochondriacs, so...
I mean, it's quite a famous piece of work. I've never seen it, and I had no idea that it was so wacky and kooky and comedic.
There you have it. That's the review, right there.
Molière, he's kind of like the Shakespeare of France or something, right?
Yes, he is. The comedic Shakespeare of France. I think he tried his hand at tragedy, and it didn't work. So he is the comedian of France, and because of him, there is French theater.
Yeah, sorry. But now, is it a period piece? Does it take place in Molière's century?
Well, we have set it in the 17th century, sort of. If you're familiar with what that looks like in terms of how people dressed, it was pretty...
A lot of frou-frou.
Frou-frou-y. And we have a little bit of that. But for the most part, Mark is on stage in a nightgown.
Did you wear
specs? The whole time.
Did I wear specs?
Do you wear those like little like Philip Johnson lollipop glasses?
No, I asked for them, but they never came. Oh, so.
What happened to those?
I don't know.
They
got lost
cute,
in the process.
As
somewhere.
If you don't have enough props to
right.
contend with. But yes, it is set in the 17th century, but it is definitely has sort of a 21st century feel about it in terms of the way they talk. Of course, it's in translation. We're not doing it in French. And we've kind of updated the translation so that it doesn't sound stilted.
You did that? You
Everybody
it?
Did. It was kind of a group effort. Every time we got to a line that sounded translated and old-fashioned, we changed it.
It was translated by an Englishman, so it comes the script comes off very British, and so we took the liberty to Americanize things a little bit, which sort of gave us permission to paraphrase a little bit. We have to be careful
no,
about that.
No, really? Are you doing that?
But we try and keep it fairly easy, fairly free-flowing and American.
Well, congratulations. I think that should be done more often.
I
tend to agree, even with Shakespeare. I think it should be done. I'm sorry, but I just do.
It's more apprehensible. If that's the apprendable, whatever. I mean, you can understand it better. I mean, I get kind of lost in stuff. Well, you're such a naturalistic actor, Mark, so everything you say just sounds like a real guy talking. You're not actorly, you know what I mean, presentational kind of. Yeah, I mean, even in a classical thing like that, it always seems just like it, you know, you are the guy.
I'm not sure if that's what you're going to see in this play. I do. In other plays, I've tended to, you know, try and be very natural, but this is a showpiece of a character. He's got the wackiness that you're talking about kind of emanates from him. He's 100% gullible beyond any stretch of the imagination, and he's got an urgency about everything that he does, and it's very much a farce, and doesn't go too deeply into the realm of reality.
The metaphor that I used when I was talking about how the other characters interact with him when we were in rehearsal was that he was the easiest trout in the stream to catch. But then he kind of put up a fight.
Is he
once
a pantaloon?
He was on the hook. Well, if you were to make this a commedia piece, he would be the pantaloon, yes.
Okay, so now the imaginary invalid, so he's a hypochondriac.
He's a hypochondriac.
It's all in his head. And you say he walks around in like a Mr. Magoo kind of a nightshirt or something with a little, you have a cap on and a little candle. And,
well, you know, I never thought of that image, but Mr. Magoo kind of works.
Minus the glasses? Yeah, it helps. It works pretty
right.
well.
So maybe it's good we don't have the glasses.
Well, in case you're just joining us, real quick, you're listening to Stage Talk on KSKA, and we're talking about The Imaginary Invalid, which is going up at Cyrano's this weekend and continuing on. We're talking to Mark Robocoff and Elizabeth Ware. Okay, continue, please.
Okay. So I understand from reading the review this morning in the ADN, which almost gives the plot away, the characters do not laugh at the play.
Oh, no, the character. I think in order for a play like this to work, the characters have to be fully invested in what they're doing and believe what they're doing, including the wacky central character. It has to be the most important thing in the world for them. And so they don't acknowledge, except to each other, when they're pulling the Mark's strings, but they are fully invested in it and believe in it, and the stakes are very high. You know, if this were a tragedy, what he's doing, the character is forcing his daughter to marry a man she doesn't love so that he can be insured of having a doctor in residence in his household forever.
See, it's universal health care, circa 1673. It's the same topics that we're discussing today.
Exactly.
No, there's a lot of laughter. All of the characters, I think, at some point are laughing at me. Take the time to laugh at Argan, but he certainly doesn't laugh at himself. And in my experience, anybody who's playing a comedic role, the character has no idea that they're being funny, and that's kind of the essence of playing a comedic role.
That's what I like in a comedy. I don't like it when the actors don't take the play seriously.
Yeah. So, like Elizabeth, what would be the analogous, like directing this piece, for instance, translating, you've poured over the script much more than anybody else in the play, and you have a vision for it and a shape that you've brought, from your head out onto the stage. What shape does it have?
I took my inspiration from paintings of the period, 17th century European paintings, and working with Margaret Hughey Lewis, who is our designer, and if anybody's familiar with her work, she's wonderful in terms of visual imagery and metaphor. And we took the paintings, especially of Vermeer, as our inspiration in terms of color and mood. They're very beautiful, and they are very representative of this period. So the set evokes a 17th century French or European drawing room. And what we were working for with the actors was to get that sense of style. In a Molière play, the characters just don't come in and plop down on a couch and start talking. They pose. And they pose like the characters in paintings pose. Everything is posturing. And that's how they pull the wool over Argonne's eyes. So we put a lot of emphasis on style and posing and how you sit and how you turn and look at the other people on stage. And what I hope the effect is for the audience is that they're looking in at a painting. And if you're familiar with Cyrano's stage, you can sit on three sides and look in. So we've created proscenium arches, which came out of paintings, the frame of a painting. We created proscenium arches around all three sides so that you're looking in at a painting from every direction.
Yeah, I can testify to this. I went to the reading on Monday night and saw the set, and it's gorgeous. It does just what you say it does.
It's gold gilt.
Yes, it is. Beautiful. Beautiful.
And Mark wears, without a doubt, the heaviest, warmest robe ever created for an actor to wear on stage.
It's made from blankets stitched together.
Yes, it is. So he takes it off about midway through the first monologue and is comfortable in his nightgown for the rest of the play.
So I don't pass out on stage.
Mark, moving around with this kind of the raiment of the time and in such a stylized, mannered kind of a way where you're dressing the stage and posing from here to there, does that like impede your vocal abilities, or how does that like break
none
up
whatsoever? Those rules are basically there for just about everybody else in the play except me. I was almost going to say I'm the one that gets to come in and plop down on the couch and start talking.
But that's right.
Because Argonne is a hypochondriac who's always ill, kind of think of him as the guy who's taken the day off of work or the week or the month off from work and is home with his orange juice and his little bell that he rings for attention. He doesn't care about posing, and Argonne does not position himself the classic way that all the rest of the characters do, and it's another way that Liz has set the character apart from the rest.
Actually, he is posing, but it's in a different way because he's pretending, but not really pretending. He actually thinks he's sick, and but every once in a while he forgets. I think one of the images we used was that he's like a dog who hurt his paw years ago, and every time he gets yelled at, starts limping on that same paw.
Yeah, it's a very good metaphor, and you can imagine, of course, that being a hypochondriac today is very less dangerous than being a hypochondriac in the 17th century and the state of the medicine at the time, so that leads to a lot of the humor of the play.
Well, we could go on for a long time, but that's all the time we have, and so I'd like to thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Ware and Mark.
Thank you, Jean. Pleasure to be here.
And we'll all look forward to seeing you. We're seeing at least Mark in The Imaginary Invalid by Molière at Cyrano's Café.
Thank you. And now it's time for the Stage Talk calendar. Tonight at the Atwood Concert Hall at the Performing Arts Center, the Anchorage Symphony presents Topsy-Turvy Tales. That's tonight, October 31st at 7 p.m. And for tickets, you can go to 263Arts, or you can get online and go to www.centertix.net.
And also tonight and tomorrow night, TBA Theater presents The Legend of the Wolfman by Wayne Mitchell. That's tonight, Halloween night, at 7 and 10 p.m. at APU's Grant Hall. And on Saturday, November 1st, at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., also at Grant Hall. For tickets, call 677-PLAY, P-L-A-Y, or email play@tbatheater.org. TBA Theater is spelled TBATHEATRE.
And here's an audition notice from TBA Theater, A Christmas Carol. They will be auditioning parts for this play Sunday, November 2nd at APU's Grant Hall from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. There are over 30 roles available for all ages. And the performances for this play, The Christmas Carol, will be from December 11th through the 21st of December, also at Grant Hall. If you have any questions, you can email the director, Aaron Dagan Mitchell, at play@tbatheater.org.
And finally, at Cyrano's, The Imaginary Invalid. This play runs Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7 p.m. with a Sunday show at 3 p.m. through November 16th. For tickets, go to centertix.net or call 263-ARTS or go to the PAC box office.
Well, that's about it for Stage Talk this week. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. Have a happy Halloween. Until next week, for KSKA, this is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.